Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Need expert advice on your family's health? Speak to us today at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
And I'm going to sit back and relax now because I'm delighted to say that Marty Whelan is here and he's picking some music for us and then he's going to talk affably about that music. And to be honest, I think he's done this before.
You've never done it. You didn't tell me that was the brief. I came in here. I was just passing the building. Can I just say, Brendan, apart from that, lovely you look. All the cameras in here.
What? They're keeping an eye on us,
this
Marty.
Is bizarre.
They're keeping an eye on us.
I'm in the only studio.
Are you
no
in
a,
some kind of broom closet somewhere? lyric is hidden away, is it?
Steady now. We're in the old building, as we call it now, in the radio centre, but we've no camera. We also have televisions. I notice you have screens. We have televisions. I think that answers its own question. Okay, but we're happy and we're cosy and we're warm.
You want to start lobbying to come over here, Marty.
Not at all.
How long have you been picking music and playing it on the radio at this stage?
I came here with the lads, as I always say, in 1979. So at the beginning of 2FM, Jerry Ryan, Dave Fanning, Declan Meehan, a bunch of us, we all came here, Jim O'Neill, we all started together. Mark Cagney was here, Vincent Hanley was here, Larry Gogan was here, Brendan Balfe. So we joined this merry throne.
Yeah, it was such an exciting time. I remember, I even remember my older brother telling me there's going to be a pop music station.
That's right. That's right. It was unbelievable because I had a proper job in insurance, and much to my father's delight, suggested that I might leave it because it was permanent and pensionable, and come in here on a 1-year contract. And my mother was very eager. My dad was kind of going, oh, I'm not so sure about this, son. Because I suppose it's that thing of, he has a job, thank God. Yeah. He'll be able to look after himself if he gets a wife and children, whatever. But we took the punt and away we went. And it was very exciting. And you have to remember, there were no other radio stations. There were pirate radio stations and all that. So this was a big deal to suddenly find yourself on the radio and doing what you loved, which is just playing music. Yeah. You know?
And you were like rock stars yourselves back then.
Some of them were. I look back on it with great fondness and great affection. And I suppose in a way, it took us a while to realise quite how big 2FM was at the time, Radio 2 at the time. It didn't occur to us for a little while until the post started and all the screaming. That was mainly management. But there was always that element of, my God, look what we have here.
I have this standout memory of Fab Vinny came in a caravan to the old Dunn's in Bishopstown in the car park. And like, he couldn't come out of the caravan because there was screaming kids
out
there.
And and giving away the 2FM t-shirts and all that crap. This was a very lovely, it was just a lovely time. But you see, I'd been into music all my life. My mum encouraged it. I mean, I got my first records when I was 9 or 10 or something. The Monkees was a big deal to me. So I had all that. I mean, it's Val Dunick and it's the Monkees and all that beginning. So I was steeped in it anyway.
And the first song you've chosen today is your favourite song of all time, but it goes back to your teenage years.
Well, I'm an only child. I have remained an only child all my life. One of the few decisions I stuck with. And you know the way you'd have an older brother or sister who'd say, what about this? What about that? Or, you should listen. Don't be listening to that rubbish. There's something else to listen to. For me, I got a transistor in 1969 and it suddenly meant that I could listen to my own music.
Yeah,
and my dad was my mum was kind of a little perturbed because she would listen to RT radio, she'd listen to the Light programme, the BBC. So I would get all these influences going on, light opera at home, a touch of the Mantovani's, whatever it would be. And then when you get your own radio, because I would listen to Radio Luxembourg at night, when you get your own radio, you were independent. My dad said, well, he's just trying to be himself. So there we were in Arklow.
So this was like when the kids get a phone now and they become a different person. Yeah. You got the radio.
You'll have to send out an explanation of what a transistor is by the time we're finished here today. So this was me. This is my music. And I could listen to it. And they were quite taken aback. My mum particularly, God bless her. But I just loved it. And Something in the Air by Thunderclap Newman came out in the summer of 69. And it has forever stuck with me as this moment where I suddenly discovered that I could choose the tunes and I could make my own decisions about stuff. And as an only child, with no one to tell you what to play, this was quite something.
So. Okay. Yeah. And here it is, Something in the Air by Thunderclap Newman.
We got to
That's Something in the Air by Thunderclap Newman, and that is Marty Whelan's first choice today. It still gets you, does it?
Yeah, every time. Because suddenly it's a sunny summer's day in Arklow with my folks. Because, again, the only child, not that I'm playing this card for sympathy reasons, but like when you're an only child, you either went away with your mum and dad on your own, or you brought a pal. Because there was no one else. So, in terms of relating stuff when you're that age, so memories are very vivid. Yeah, Cortown and Caravan and all that, Carry On and Bundoran and whatever. So, yeah.
And you were also a drummer, were you?
I played the drums. I played the drums. Look, in school, everybody had a band. Everybody wanted to be in a band to be famous. And I played the drums. I had learnt the piano badly and the guitar relatively all right, but the drums, yeah, I played the drums. I never got lessons. Well, I did. I got not really lessons, but people who knew how would kind of say, oh, we'll try this.
And I just... Ronan Collins give you a few tips, yeah.
Not one.
No. He guards it jealously, the gift.
He does. And he makes money out of it, in fairness to him. And he was professional. I was never professional, but I loved it.
Do you still do it?
I'll tell you a story. I got a set of drums for 25 quid 100 years ago. My mum bought me a set of drums because with pals we played in a band. Not pretentious. The band was called Ulysses. I rest my case. Nothing pretentious about that. So that was the band we had. And we didn't get very far, but the lads were very, they were good musicians and stuff. Anyway, life moved on. And later in life, my mum said, we were talking about music or something. She said, I'd love to buy you your last set of drums. It's not an amazing thing for her to say.
Oh.
And we got a Premier kit in Walton's, and she bought me the drums. And she said, I just want to do this. And I said, well, they'll be in boxes for ages. They're in the attic now, set up, by the way.
Yeah.
And there are days, sometimes when you might meet a member of management and the day mightn't have gone as well as you'd hoped, it's no harm to go upstairs and discuss things with the drums. But I set them up. But she was amazing. And I thought it was a lovely thing to do because she remembered that we'd had the drums years ago. So she bought me. So when I say, am I a drummer? I can play the drums, yeah, and it's a nice escape, but never professionally.
Yeah. Well, you don't need to. I mean, you'd have it to fall back on if things don't work out in the broadcast.
I don't know who'd be looking for me to play the drums in the band. I don't think so. Well, I mean, for me, always it was about all sorts of music and whatever. And it's like anything, you find yourself with a girlfriend, you say, well, hang on a second, I need to have a proper job and all of that, and away you go. So until RTE came calling, and that changed everything.
Yeah. Do you feel a proper job now?
It's never been a proper job. I think you're doing a great job, in fairness to you. But you see, you fall into things. I mean, you think about your career and what you have done and how you have shifted sands in your own world and how it's turned out incredibly well in your world. And for me, I got, I suppose, very lucky because I did lots of things in radio. Most of them seem to work. And then some things don't work. And you go, well, OK, I've got to pick myself up here and move on and grab this because this is what you know what to do. Now, where can I go and do it? Yeah. And I think it's as simple as that. And you have to believe in yourself. It's not easy when you get knocked down. But I think as a career...
Century was kind of your big knockdown.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was nothing. Again, I look back and I think about... how certain people felt about me leaving.
So you left here, went to Century Radio, which was a big new commercial station, plenty of money behind it. That was
absolutely. I mean, Oliver Barry was behind it. He had been chair of the authority here, Terry Wogan, hero of mine, and Krista Berg and various people. So I thought to myself, well, this is worth a punt. Let's see what happens. Didn't work. And then you come back and you kind of go, what do I do now? And I was very fortunate in RTE that in television, nobody balked. No one had anything but cheer back in the ground. And away we went slowly but surely doing work in television. But radio didn't want to know. And I suppose in hindsight, you have to understand why they didn't want to know. But yeah, it was a long time before I got back into radio.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, and
the Daz ads kept you...
We were eating Daz one day because but thank God for Daz and thank God for people who still believe that I had a profile, you know, enough to give me those things. And happy days, because had those things not come, I'm not sure, you know, what we would have done. But I had to sign on and everything. It was very strange times.
It's like Willie Nelson, all the things I did, I had to do them. That's what it took to get here, isn't
it? That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. And it's isn't Willie Nelson a great man for for quotes. I was just talking about Willie Nelson the other night. About, we were talking about being number one or being top of whatever gig we do or whatever organisation. And Willie Nelson has always used the line, the second mouse gets the cheese. And I've always thought it was wonderful. Yeah. You know, but yeah. You take a chance and the chance either works or it doesn't work. And you go, okay, I did the best I could. And try not to hurt people as you go. And thankfully, then eventually returned to radio as well as a TV, which came much earlier.
Let's get back to music.
Yes.
Second choice now. Another American classic, Glen Campbell.
Yeah. It's quite interesting. I've interviewed lots of people over the years, as you have. And Glen Campbell is somebody I never got to interview, but I did interview Jimmy Webb a number of times. And he was on the telly here with us over the years. And Maria and I, my current wife, we adore the music of Jimmy Webb. I think he's literally one of the greatest wordsmiths ever. And I think Wichita Lineman is just one of these special stories where you can imagine yourself looking at this guy up fixing the wires in the middle of nowhere. And he comes from Oklahoma, so there's quite a lot of that. And it's just an image. It's like a great painter. It's like somebody like, Constable or somebody. So somebody just does a great painting and you go, hits it on the head.
Yeah, and look, but lots of people have done it, but Glen Campbell, Glen Campbell.
I think it has to be Glen
Campbell. He was the paintbrush needed initially for this painting.
Beautifully put, by the way. That's quite poetic.
Marty Whelan's second musical choice today, Wichita Lineman, Glen Campbell.
I am a lineman for the county, and I drive the main road, searching in the sun for another overload. I hear you singing in the wire, I can hear you through the whine. And the Wichita lineman is still on the line.
Beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah. The drums here, like in Egypt. It's a gorgeous song. Yeah, it's just wonderful.
Marty Whelan, second choice, Wichita lineman, Glen Campbell singing Jimmy Webb song there. You were talking about career and the ups and downs and all that kind of thing. And then didn't an extraordinary thing happen? It doesn't happen for everybody, kind of at a certain point in your career. The lyric thing and Marty in the Morning. Is it 15 years now?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. It's an astonishing thing to happen for me because I had never thought of Lyric FM before for me. I didn't think I was appropriate necessarily to it. And circumstances just kind of fell into place. I had been doing some work on The Breakfast Show on 2FM with John Clark. Things had changed there. I suddenly found myself in a position where, again, I was going, what am I going to do here? And Adrian Moynes, who was the head of radio, we went to lunch. And I'm sure we each paid our own element of that, obviously. And it was under 50 quid. And we went to lunch. We had a lovely lunch. And he said to me, have you ever thought of Lyric FM? And I said to him, clearly, no, I had not. And he said, well, I've heard you and I've heard the things you've done, because I had done some late night stuff on Radio 1, where I had played, for instance, Wichita Lineman, but I'd also been throwing in a bit of light opera, throwing in a bit of classical. And he said, hang on a sec, you could make it your own. And subsequently, I went from there to meeting Aidan O'Doul, who was the leader, the head of the station. They took me in. I started doing a show on a Sunday and then lunchtime, and then ended up doing this, the breakfast show, Marty in the Morning. And
it's Sinead, become a kind of, would you call it a cult?
It's a worrying
successor.
Word.
There's a tribe, isn't
yeah,
there?
Yeah, there is a tribe.
You have these devotees.
Well, there are. But all three of them tune in every morning, which is lovely. But I'll tell you what it is. It's kind of a club. It's Sinead Wilde is the head of Lyric FM, and she was my producer for most of the time I've been there. And literally, she gave me the opportunity to just be me, which is exactly what Adrian Moynes had said. If you could just be yourself. In other words, I can play Wichita Lineman, but I will follow it with Shostakovich, or I'll follow it with Puccini, or I'll follow it. So we were able to do that. But your point is interesting, because we have a gang who at 7:05 will start sending me jokes. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. In a world that is falling apart, there are people who get up in the morning, they're walking their dogs, or they're going to work, or they're getting children ready for school, because we have everyone from nothing to 90 and plus, and it's one, and they send me jokes. Now, not all the jokes are of a very high standard. I brought one with you to try it out.
Okay, go on.
I was at a seance the other day. The clairvoyant came dancing into the room, laughing, joking. So I slapped him. I always like to strike a happy medium. Now, that's 7:05 in the morning. That's the level. But what's lovely about it is that people are saying, okay, I will get the news, and we will give them the news at on the hour, or on a half hour rather. And that's fine. I'll get traffic. I'll get all that. But I want to actually start the day with a smile and a bit of fun. So we blend the music in that way, and we can go, like chatting to Mark Knopfler last week, and we can play that. But we can also obviously be playing opera and playing whatever. So we've had a, we're careful about what we play, but the link with them is fantastic.
Yeah.
And they do send me gifts all under the value of 50 quid, which is quite good.
And you still give them moustache-free magnets, yes?
I'm afraid. As the station doesn't have a lot of money, we can't afford mugs like other stations. So it's the Marty in the Morning moustache. I have one with me. Would you like one? Do you have one?
No, I don't.
Don't you? I think it's something that would be a boon. It's in, as well as it's in my other... Oh, it's not.
I can't believe it. It took until now. I had to put it up to you live on air.
It's on video now. I'm passing the moustache.
Okay, Marty in the Morning,
But it's a moustache. It's just a bit of fun. But that's what we have, I hope, created another world. And you know what, Brendan? We also get a lot of posts. And we got posts from people who were upset and whatever. And we struck some sort of chord with people. It's quite interesting that we've had that. And people will send me letters and say, I don't want to talk about this. I don't want you to mention it. Just say hello to Harry or whatever. But they'll tell me stories. It's quite uplifting and very, very humbling to know that people have that relationship with me after all these years.
I bet it is, yeah.
It's very special. I'm really, you know, I can be very touched some mornings. It's all, yes, we're all upbeat and glass half full, and I am. But some days you just get knocked for six. Someone will tell you that they were listening and such, and it brought them back to it. And then they tell you a story, and you go, merciful hour. And it's the power of radio. And radio does that.
Yeah.
And it's a thing that radio, as people always say, radio has the best pictures.
You play a lot of Ennio Morricone.
I do.
On the radio.
Yeah. I think he's probably one of the greatest composers that's ever lived in any genre. And I had the joy. Now, he didn't speak English, so the interview was interesting. And I've interviewed him a few times. He's gone now, God rest him. And a lovely thing happened. We went to see him at the Three Arena, and we met him. I had interviewed him in Berlin, and we got the opportunity to meet him. And he asked for the family, because I was with Maria and Jessica and Thomas. And we went and we met him. And he was just this gorgeous man. He understood English, but he didn't speak it. So what he would do, it was kind of broken.
Yeah.
And then somebody would translate for him. And he was just this gorgeous, gorgeous man with this wonderful talent to hit your heart. And the track I mentioned this morning is one of those that when he played it in concert, I remember on a number of occasions seeing him in concert, and he the first note came, and I could hear this man behind me said to his mate, here we go, because it's a certain type of music that hits. It's the spaghetti western. It's all that.
Okay.
And I think it literally strikes a chord.
Okay, so here is Marty Williams' third choice, Ecstasy of Gold by Ennio Morricone. terrific.
Oh, highly carried.
Ecstasy in your Margot. The whole opera is in there, isn't it? Like, it's all there. No words, but it's all there.
And he invented sounds. Little sounds that he invented. Genius of a man. And this very small, unassuming man. And his wife, Maria, would come to all his concerts and sit on the side of the stage. It's quite something. And like, he's an elderly man. And he conducted, without leaving the stage, his concerts every evening. Unbelievable. And just stood there, or sat there rather, and conducted. I think he was an especially special man.
You mentioned your own Maria there.
Yes. Still with me, God help her.
Yeah, yeah. Love at First Sight, I believe, in the famous Grove Disco.
Well, love at First Sight for me.
Yeah. has she come around yet?
I'm as forever expectant. She's it took a while. I fell in love with her immediately, and that was me gone. And we've been together ever since. I find it weird. This summer will be a very significant anniversary of our meeting. It's 50 years.
Wow.
1974. And which is quite incredible, really. But
And you've just become grandparents?
Just become grandparents. Lily Nora has born. We haven't met her. She's a tiny little person. And Jessica and Connor are her mum and dad. And we're thrilled for them. And all we're doing is looking at pictures. We haven't seen her yet. We haven't met her. But very soon we hope to. And we're high as kites.
A little pet.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Yeah. And she was the same weight as Jessica was when she was born, which was very small. So we know she could be a fighter and she'll be grand. And she's named after her two grandparents, which is kind of nice. My mum is Lily and Connor's mum is Nora. So that's our granny, is Nora. So we're very high on it. And again, you go back to the radio, the amount of people who were in touch and cards and all that stuff. And it's lovely. People were sending in like baby grows into reception. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh yeah, look, they're all texting in now.
What's this?
Please tell Marty he's made so many people happy over the years with his chat and his genuine wit and caring nature. It's made my day. So many great memories of my own childhood listening to him on Radio Luxembourg. That's Mairead in West Clare. Marty, please stay on air forever, Marty. You are truly amazing, both at your job and as a person. That's a person I'm making air quotes here. Margaret and Cork. Did you tell people to be sure? Come up with different counties and different names when they text
you. Spread yourselves out. Don't talk to me.
Proud to be part of the Marty tribe. Love Marty in the morning. A wonderful way to ease into the day. That's just Liz. She didn't say. Liz in Westmead, let's say.
Ah, yes.
Once read out a joke of mine. Two men were convicted of stealing a calendar. They got what they deserved, 6 months each.
That's there you go. I know, yeah.
Okay, bit of opera next.
Did
the opera come when you when you joined Lyric?
No. My mum liked light opera, Nelson Eddy, Nelson MacDonald, all this carry on. And Naughty Marietta, the boldest biscuit in the world. And I kind of half liked it. But my father-in-law, Maria's dad, Thomas Dent, he loved opera and he would play it at home, making the Sunday lunch or whatever. He'd be playing opera in the house. Yeah. And it kind of
I met Maria and you can see that she's much more quality than
she is. She's more of a stylish person. All yes. Yeah, more rounded than myself. But she. But anyway, so this was going on. I used to really like it, and I grew to love it. And now we're Puccini maniacs. I don't like all opera. You can't, because you know if it doesn't suit your ear, it doesn't suit your ear. But Puccini, we adore, and we've been to Verona and various places over the years to see Puccini. And I mean, in Ireland, we've Celine Byrne, we have so many Claudia Boyle, so many very fine opera singers in Ireland, and lads too, of course. And Bohème and Tosca and Madame Butterfly. These are just beautiful pieces of work. And to me, they
so
stand
beside.
The piece
beside, you've chosen today, then.
Well, the piece I've chosen today, Simi Kimano Mimi, is from Bohème, and it's so much of opera. Basically, her candle's gone out, and she calls in this chap for a match. I'll leave it with you. that's the way we explain things on our program. But
okay,
it's beautiful. Right. It's a beautiful piece. Anyway, you're going to play.
Okay, Simi Kimano Mimi from Puccini's Lab. Say again.
Are you available for stand-in work? Simi Kimano Mimi.
Simi Kimano Mimi.
They call me Mimi.
Puccini's Bohème.
I think you should play it now.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And this is sung by Renata Tibaldi.
Absolutely. heart. Okay.
There was Marty Whelan's fourth choice today, and it was called Marty.
See me, Kiamana Mumimi. And it was all about a girl who is, things aren't going well, as happens in opera. And you kind of try to explain opera to people. You just go, yes, go on.
I need to move it on a little bit because I want to talk about a couple of things before we go. Well, I'm interested in Eurovision. You'll be off again soon now, packing the Baileys and the bags.
That's right, the Baileys and bags. Baileys, bags, and Bambi Thug. Leaving the baby behind. It'll be interesting because this is a very different song for us to have as a Eurovision entry. You never know. Everybody says, "Oh yeah, well, why don't you do a ballad? Why don't you have pyrotechnics?" No matter what we do what we do, and we do the best we can. This is my 25th year to do this, and I can tell you, hand on heart, that I haven't a clue how you win this. Like, think about the songs we won, but it's a different time when we won with those songs, and we have to be super conscious of that. It's very hard to know. I'll tell you one thing: it won't be for the lack of effort, because Bambi Thug, when you see the stage show, is phenomenal.
Yeah,
and they have made such an effort.
You need that these days.
Oh yes, yeah. And they are really putting a show together. So we're optimistic. We look at, as long as we get to be in the final. This is the thing we haven't been able to do for a while, to get out of the semi-final, because only the main countries get to be guaranteed that. So we're not. We need to get out of the semi-final, be in the final, then we have a carnival, then we have a party, and then we have a proper Eurovision Song Contest on the Saturday. But I'll do my best in Malmo and keep our end up.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. Don't mention it.
Yeah. And before we go to your final choice,
yes, sir.
Tell us about Marty in the evening. Your tribe are going to be very excited now.
It's bigger
than ever.
Well, we've had a few of these over the years, and this is, we're in the Borgosh on the 26th of June with the RTÉ Concert Orchestra, and it's like some of the music we've had today will be there, and we will have special guests, and we will have some of those fabulous jokes, and we'll also have some stories and various bits and pieces. So it's basically trying to take the essence of the radio show Marty in the Morning and turning it into Marty in the Evening. We've had three of them. It's never been in the Borgosh, which is quite a big venue for us, and but we're optimistic that we can do it and that we can entertain. And I think, you know, there's always a possibility that I might join the orchestra. There's always a chance.
Okay, get out the drum kit from the attic.
I could always play something.
A drum solo in the middle of a bit of Puccini, maybe, yeah.
It'd be electric. Okay. But we're very excited about it, I know.
Okay, and we're going to end today on your favourite artist,
yes.
Van Morrison.
Yeah, still.
Yeah.
It never wavers. I remember doing an interview for Barry Egan back in the day, and he asked me, what is it about him? What is it about Van? And I said, he touches my soul like nobody else. And it really is that he's playing very different music currently. But in terms of music that we're about to hear, when my mum died, there's a song called Across the Bridge Where Angels Dwell. And whether you have faith or not is neither here nor there. But the concept that somebody dies and that they go somewhere else and there are people waiting on them. I know that might sound simplistic, but it's an image that can be very comforting for many, and I certainly at the time of my mom's dying found it very comforting. And again, a song called See Me Through, which he wrote when my dad died. So I've found him both musically brilliant and spiritually good. And I've interviewed him and met him many times, but I've interviewed him some years ago and we had the most wonderful chat. Like, he's a very interesting, shy man. But you know, he's doesn't let his guard down, let's put it that way.
But he kind of likes you, weirdly.
But yeah, it is
he
weird.
He obviously likes a dad joke.
No, but you're right, he is weird.
Before we go to that, this is a text now that reflects a lot of what we were talking about and what you were just talking about there as well. Mm. I'm waking up most mornings, I'm sorry I have to go through another day without my lovely wife who passed away 9 years ago. And then I turn on Marty and hear one of his stupid jokes and it helps me face the day. Thanks, Marty. Isn't that it? Like, stupid jokes are much more than stupid jokes, Marty.
Well, they mean an awful lot more. So thank you for that. Thank you for all the messages. It's lovely.
And he acting surprised.
Okay. I'd laid on many more.
They're all there, but I can't read. We'd be here all day. Okay, more details on that Marty in the Evening event in the Borgosh Energy Theatre on June 26th are on rte.ie/CO. And so, Marty Whelan, thank you very much. And this is to play out Someone Like You by Van Morrison.
Thanks, Brendan. Marty. Thank you, my friend. Thank you.